Good morning. My name is Elsa, and I'll be your operator during today's conference. At this moment, I'd like to welcome everyone to the report, to a conference of financial reports by the first quarter of 2019. All the lines have been placed in silence mode to avoid any kind of background noise. After the comments of the speaker, there will be a Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question at that moment, just push the star button followed by number one in the keyboard of your phone. Thanks a lot. Mr. Ricardo Sierra, CEO of Celsia, you can start your lecture, your conference now. Thanks a lot, Elsa. And I'd like to ask you for a favor to say hello to Samuel, who joined us for several years as our operator in our conferences. Tell him we're going to miss him a lot, but we're very well represented with you too. Hi. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today and for sharing with us this teleconference of results of a company for the first quarter of 2019. As always, we're charged with good energy to tell you about the outcome of all the transformation process that we're living and to make it a relevant player in the international markets. These results are possible thanks to the talent and passion of our people, who are the engine who actually give traction and speed to our conviction businesses. Thanks to the transformation of culture that we've started, we've been able to get to new territories, grow and strengthen our businesses, and our customers continue with that social culture will make us competitive in the market. In the first quarter, we carried out our meeting of shareholders. We had a participation of 409 out of them, representing 84.8% of shares. It was marked by important decisions. The approval of an increase of an 8.2% in dividends, which generates a profitability of 4.2% on the price of a share. We had the election of a board of directors and of a new tax auditor. We selected KPG Industry. Besides, we had the reform of a statutory reform, and we changed the name from being ESP, Public Services Enterprise. We lost the ESP denomination, and thanks to the decisions that we made, pretty much ELSA continues with its category as ESP. To all the shareholders that were at the meeting and those who connected to internet and those shareholders who are attentive to our results, who are witness of our process, thanks a lot for your assistance and support and for hearing us. By the closing of March, Celsia bought 1.87% of the ordinary shares of EPSA, increasing our share to a 63.2%. We continue consolidating EPSA as the investment platform for operations in Colombia, which improves the organizational capabilities and optimizes the management of our energy portfolio. At EPSA, we also announced the purchase of distribution assets and the commercialization business of power in Tolima. Likewise, or at the same as the 39 municipalities in Valle del Cauca, will be operators in the 47 municipalities of Tolima, including its capital, which is Ibagué. That way, we reached more than 1,115,000 customers assisted or serviced in the power service. In the last weeks, we've progressed in the tasks and the previous tasks to receive the new colleagues and the operation at Tolima. That way, we can continue building the Celsia culture with them, and likewise, we are attentive to comply with all conditions to be part of these markets. So likewise, we expect to be operated in Tolima with all assets by June. With the experience of Excelsia and the operation of the team of EPSA, and the status of a new rate table, distribution rate table, according to Resolution 015 of 2018 of ACREG, we estimate to have assets and an EBITDA for the first year of around 200,000 million pesos. With the aim of having the necessary resources for the acquisition of assets in Tolima, we had announced an emission of ordinary bonds, which buy EPSA in the local market by an amount of 1.1 billion pesos. The installation had successful results, which represented a demand higher than 2.0 billion pesos, which were allocated, or 1.1 billion were allocated, which was more than 70% of resources allocated to Tolima, and the remaining percentage is destined to strengthen the position and liquidity of the company. And likewise, this week we had the syndicated credit or loan contract by $190 million, in order for us to do the acquisition of the assets in Tolima. In our business, we complied with our plan in Caribe. With the bet for this year in Plan 5 Caribe, we closed in the agreed deadline and with the budgeted investments the challenge that we had assumed with the region of the Caribbean in 2015. In terms of benefits, the region today adds 1,040 megawatts and a transformation capacity in a network system, which is translated into a facility to assist the growing demand of power with a higher development of population and with a higher reliability in our service. In the first quarter of 2019, the investments of Plan 5 Caribe went up to 18,000 million pesos. It is important to highlight that the project will have operational income revenues of around 80,000 million pesos. The EBITDA of this is very important. At the end, we'll end up having a figure of around 420,000 million pesos in Plan 5 Caribe projects, which is an extremely profitable plan and a benefit for us, which opened growth roads or avenues that are very good for us in our growth, which is very necessary if we want to have more renewable markets. The next step will be the building of a project which has to do with the new area of Tolu Viejo, which is 220 kilowatts in the Department of Sucre, and 160 kilometers for transmission lines in Chinú, Tolu Viejo, Tolu Bolívar. And the project will be in operation in the second quarter by 2022, which will require investments of $70 million. So we're going to continue with the pursuit of similar opportunities, and that way we're going to continue growing these business lines and complementing it properly with the support of distribution of new businesses and of generation. Now, let's talk a little bit about generation and progress of the project. We see a progress of 49% in Project San Andres, which is a small channel that we're building of 400 megawatts. The CapEx goes up to 14,000 million pesos. And right now, we are finishing the construction of the access roads, and we started the installation of a cargo piping. And we continue with the work of the driving tunnel, conduction tunnel, as well as the specific training works and the machinery house. And we expect to continue with this operation by next year. All the mechanics are ready, we're doing all the review, and we are progressing properly in this project that we expect to have in operation by next year. The company continues with its bets, with its commitment in Central America with non-conventional renewable generation projects, and in Honduras, we are working in the construction of a first solar farm that we'll have in the country, which will supply 18% of the demand of the operation of Cementos Argos. And during the first months of the year, we'll do the suitability of the terrain of 15 hectares, plus the installation of 35,000 panels, and we expect to start operations by the end of this year. Before I give context in general of the industry, I wanted to tell you about that by the closing of the first quarter, we reached 630,000 customers, even above our estimations, and we continue in a growth and strengthening our experience in customers and local market as well as in the new businesses. The growth expectations in our businesses are very positive, and therefore we're making investments in a total of 85,000 million pesos, excluding what we mentioned already of Plan 5 and PCH in San Andres. In Colombia, we invested 82,000 million pesos, and in Central America, by business, $1.1 million, and by business, 54,000 million pesos, and in transmission and distribution, 23,000 million in generation business, and additional businesses. Now let's go to the context of the industry. In Colombia, the SIN, energy consumption, represented a growth of 4.3% compared to the same period of 2018. in regulated market growth, it grew in a 4.3%, and the demand of EFSA grew in a rhythm of 8.7% in the first quarter. That means that there were important growth points in different areas of the country, which has been very positive for the demand of energy, which is a good sign for the country, and it fills us with optimism, not only for the members of the company, but for all Colombia, which actually means that Colombia is setting a great milestone. Now, the water reports of the EDM and different weather prediction institutions show a behavior of 80% of the historical mean, which is lower to the 96% registered in the same period of the last year. And the level of damp went up to a 42%. Last year, there was the statement of a period of drought of El Nino, which this year has affected at some point. And in the ocean areas, they're having like some partial setbacks. So the Nino phenomenon has been weak this year. It has decreased the hydrological water streams, but it hasn't had the impact that we expected. Nonetheless, you saw that there have been some cold areas in the western part of the country, but in the eastern part and in the northern coast, as well as in Panama, that we're going to talk about that, the drought has been extremely intense. So in spite there has been a Nino phenomenon, the volatility of a region starts to set differentiated analysis for the future. The price of energy, the price of power, showed an increasing behavior for the first quarter of the year and stocks 284 pesos per kilowatts, and the price of contracts in the regulated market reported by the system reached 201 pesos, increasing in 7%. Clearly, it's a market that is responding to the Nino phenomenon, nothing out of regular banks, and we've been able to keep it properly at a good water generation level, and the thermal plants supporting at the moment that they had to, but really the price was very below the price of a coffee. So actually we had to activate that area. Let's talk about Panama. The total generation of a system reached 2,717 kilowatts per year. That means a growth of 4%. Different from Colombia, the incidence of El Niño phenomenon has been way higher, and the water contributions have suffered a lot. So the generation of the important power plants there, which are Bayano and Fortuna, went down at very low levels, and that included a cost of marginal average of power was of $104 per hour megawatts in the quarter. It was a 47% higher than the same quarter of 2018. The summer has been so intense that year, the first years of the quarter, there was a record of a peak demand that the country had. Likewise, the authority of a Panama Canal has had to decrease in 7 opportunities the limit level of rotation of ships or circulation of ships because of the low level of waters that are supplying the canal in Panama. And like, so that means that we are really expecting to start raining in Panama because the situation is very serious. It's very difficult. Now, those were some of the main events and news of the first quarter. I want to leave you with Esteban so that he can tell us a little bit about the financial results and operational results. And then we'll go to a Q&A session. We'll actually remind you that all this information and all the details, Natalia and Jesus will publish them, will post them in the investments webpage. So please go there and look up all the details and ask any questions. Thanks, Ricardo. Well, I want to tell you that in the first quarter, the consolidated revenue reached 861,000 million pesos. That was an increase of 2% compared to the same period of last year. We highlighted 705,000 million pesos of the operation in Colombia with a growth of 7%, while the revenues in Central America add up $550 million with a decrease of 23%. Colombia's revenue represents by the closing of a semester of a quarter, 82% of a total consolidated or aggregated, compared to Central America, which represents 19%. As for Ricardo mentions, in Central America, We've got a first quarter, which is different compared to last year. Nonetheless, in certain aspects, it's very linked to what we expected to find this year. The first thing was that we had the expiration of a contract of power and energy associated, as we mentioned in previous lectures or conferences. The work team in Central America, along with the Colombian team, we've been working to achieve a long-term revenue source for the plants. Nonetheless, let's say that the market windows do not allow that to happen. And for 2019, we were expecting the plant to be in the spot market. The contract represents, only the length of the contract represents a drop of the revenues of $22 million, which were compensated by the energy in the spot market thanks to the decrease in the price for a net drop of only $14 million. And understanding that those $22 million dropped in revenues for an EBITDA that could be negative in that size, the EBITDA only dropped in $8 million for the operation. The other $7 million, which fund the operation of Central America, are due to a lower generation of energy in Dos Mares, which dropped in a 16% given the conditions of hydrology, or water conditions, which Ricardo already mentioned happened in the Panama market, and that makes us buy around 43 gigawatts, or a little bit more, of power, at a price which in 2018 averaged $77, and that for 2019 averaged $109 every megawatt. That's just to summarize what's been happening in Central America, and that's what I'm saying. Even though there has been an important difference compared to the results of 2018, it's worse than what we expected as an organization, better than what we expected to have. The generation in Colombia adds 280,000 million pesos. The generation in the quarter was 1,317 megawatts per hour. In this case, it's a 22%. The hydroelectrical energy decreased in a 19% compared to last year, and that's due to the summer conditions at the beginning of the quarter and some situations in the Pacific area, and also compared to the first quarter of 2018 when we had conditions of the Niña phenomenon, which by the end of the year did not materialize completely. By each part, the thermal generation decreasing at 30% compared to the registration or register last year, getting to 373 gigawatts per hour. That's due to the fact that last year there were some failures in the system, which impacted the Caribbean area, and that obliged to an increased security generation, which supplied Celsius tax-free zone. In the case of a social tax-free zone, I think it is important highlighting that despite having a 31% lower less of energy, the fact of being able to go from an energy production in the security market as the one that we know what its compensation is, we could have been placing the greatest part of the power that was produced in the first quarter in the spot market, that means in stock markets, sales, which will allow us a decrease of 31% of generation. That revenue is only decreasing at 8%, but at an important level, the EBITDA to grow in a 17% compared to last year. So really, the snapshot compared to last year in tax-free zone, there's a decrease, but it is translated into a better financial result. Now, in regards to the business, generation and distribution business, it went to 7,000 million pesos, which is an increase, as Ricardo explained, by the incorporation of Plan 5 Caribbean, but also joined by a higher demand in the local distribution system and higher revenues in transmission system by the IFP increase. The distribution revenues went up to 230,000 million pesos with a 14% of growth, thanks to the behavior of a demand and thanks to the increase of price in the regulated market as well as in the non-regulated market. The first quarter of the year, we added more than 3,600 customers in regulated market, and that's represents 100,000 million in Susocia in Valle Cauca and 1,100 customers in the regulated market. Those customers represent a great package of energy, right? Yes, they should. The key performance of a business, of a non-regulated business, that strategy and that regional expansion that we've mentioned already in previous teleconferences, that's what we've been developing. I want to highlight at this point that the minority distributor distributed 519 megawatts in the first quarter. In the non-regulated markets, thanks to what we've been talking about, energy has increased almost in a 5%, while in the market, it went to a less than 5%. That means that we are talking about 100 basis points above in the growing points. So we hope that the trend to be kept in the next quarters. In our regulated markets, we increased the demand in an 11% compared to what happened in 2018. And that obviously is higher than the growth that the market represents or shows in a 4%. The distribution of gas and transportation, that was 10,000 million pesos. That was an increase of 80% due to more distribution and a better network of distribution in the Caribbean area. Then the other products represent 14,000 pesos as an increase of 21% thanks to the contribution of new products and services, which the company has implemented already. The point of sale registered 1,263 million. And then the water supply and the hydroelectrical plants had an increase of 1,300 million pesos. And the variable cost grew in a 4%, closing in 23,000 million pesos. And the purchasing of power and stock is the main motivator of increase of these variable costs. In regards to consolidated administration expenses that added up 481,000 million pesos, 4% less than in 2018. Thanks to all of this, EBITDA adds up 271,000 million pesos, the second highest registered in all the history in the region. The figures went up in a 5%. Let's say that gathering all the effects that we've talked about in our operation in Central America. Colombia contributes with 238,000 million pesos, the highest of EBITDA for a first quarter with a growth of 13% compared to last year. The net debt by the closing of the first quarter went up to 3.5 billion pesos with a EBITDA of 2.5 more times higher than the one of 12 months ago where we had a net debt of 3 billion pesos. The increase in the debt is due essentially to the execution of projects related to growth. Just in 2018, We issued two sets of green bonds to fund the green, the solar farms, and there were disbursements of those bonds that were the ones that invested in the Caribbean area. That shows the closing decrease or in a 2%, and there were 250,000 million pesos. In Colombia, it had not generated taxes in 2016. Up until the end of 2018, thanks to the results of last year, we discounted all the fiscal losses or tax losses related to the Niño phenomena, and that represented a higher cost of the profit, which was 403,000 pesos. Now, in Colombia and Central America, there is an expense of 301,000 million pesos. The company so far is registering a net consolidated profit of 451,000 million pesos. By discounting minority interest, the owners of a controller was 431 million pesos. The cash flow closed in 254,000 million pesos and consolidated thanks to the results, operational and financial results of which mentioned. The cash flow generation and different funding initiatives will allow us to positively advance thanks to the actions that we're taking. Ricardo, let's talk a little bit about other subjects. But now to summarize in the balance, first balance of the first quarter, as consolidated, we could say, at a level of results in Colombia, is the best result, is the second best EBITDA by quarter, consolidated by quarter. And Central America, that we had the drop of the two contracts, or the loss of the two contracts, heated line up in an important way with the thermal generation that we have there, even though it's being heated a lot or beaten a lot by the drop of water generation in those valleys or in the seas that we've been affected by. But different from that, the growth in the market and all the geography is doing pretty well. Now, if we see it from that scope, the complement of a generation that we've had in Central America, and that's what has been said here in Colombia, the fact of not having a contract really ends up balancing the effects in Central America. The 17 million in EBITDA, as we said in the conference, but if we see the figures of LN, it pretty much contributes to the $8 million in generation of ACA, which ends up balancing the negative results that we had. And then for the contract, which we said that because of the market conditions, it's got its customers and its times to be recovered. Okay, so now going to the final parts, in order to open it for questions, we're going to talk a little bit about two subjects. One of them is electrical mobility and a little bit about the solar parts. In electrical mobility, we all know that this is already a reality. It is a bet to contribute to improve the pollution levels, to improve the air quality, not only in particle material, but also in additive contamination. We believe in sustainable mobility, and we're convinced of updating our transport. So we're betting a lot for all the effort of generation of cargo installations or stations. We have 12 charging stations. We finished the first station in Central America in Alta Plaza Mall in Panama City. So here we're going to continue to work a lot and very hard in strengthening this a lot. And stations that we've already have installed in Bogota, Medellin, in Valle de Aburrá, in Antioquia, Cali, in Cartagena, have more than 3,000 recharges have been done, and more than 14,000 kilowatts of energy have been distributed. And if we did the account for that, in marketing, there will be 70,000 kilometers that have been done in Bogota. We continue with an alliance, NACER, which is a very important project to continue accelerating this, and we continue focused into bringing the first 25 electrical buses to a massive transportation system, which is going to be a NEO in Cali, with a partner, which is a black and white, a black green air operator, in which we have an important share. So working very hard on this to see what we can do. Now, in the solar part, we wanted to mention that we got to a very interesting milestone, which is 100 megawatts between roofs and B2B farms. It's pretty much 100 customers who have bet for the change and for the improvement of their generation technology. So we're very glad with this, and the pipeline is almost double this figure. And we see that this solar reduction project is very strong. By that, we want to finish our report of results, and we're going to open the session for Q&A. Thanks a lot. Yes. Right now, I'd like to remind you all that in order to ask the questions, it is necessary to please push the start button followed by number 1 in the keyboard of your phone. I'll repeat myself, star 1 in the keyboard of your phone. If you want to remove your question, just push the pound button. We'll make it a brief pause to gather the list of terms of questions. And the first question comes from Ricardo Sandoval from Davivienda Corredores. Good morning, Esteban and Ricardo. Thanks a lot for the presentation. I'd like to know if probably Esteban could give us a similar analysis to the one that he did in Bahía Minas, as what he, as in CapEx, even in Cativa, he could compensate all the non-compliance of the contract of spot market, and if we saw any kind of impact in the EBITDA. And my second doubt is, now I was mentioning that you reached 100 megawatts in your solar generation. I'd like to know if maybe you could give us a discriminator on what are the roofs, and understand that there are 30 farms. Would that mean that there were? Would that mean that there's 70 megawatts? Thanks a lot. Perfect. Well, I'm going to start by the one of solar, the question of solar generation, while Ricardo gets ready. Now, in solar, we have effectively, yes, it's kind of like that, yes. We've got 18 megawatts already installed in farms, and we are building the 10 megawatts of estimated, so that gives us the 28 megawatts, and then the rest of them are measured by roofs and by what we call floors. Some manufacturing plants have some surrounding terrains where there can be installations of 500 kilowatts of 1 megawatt in floor. For example, the one that we have in CIAPA in the Center of Research and Agriculture in Palmira, we have 50 megawatts there. Yes, that's the distribution of what we have between what we call businesses who already went through the acceptance phase, and now we're in the phase of installation and production based points. Out of the 100 megawatts, unfortunately, we only have around 35 megawatts in production, and the rest of them are in construction phase. But, Ricardo, that marks an important trend, because every time when you see this in the solar energy, people get enthusiastic and they start to see the advantages of having part of their energy matrix or power energies with long-term contracts, fixed price, which brings environmental benefits, decrease of CO2 emissions, and it goes very well as strategies and in terms of social and corporate responsibility as our customers. And besides that, it's very competitive in price, so we expect this trend to continue. What's important is the pipeline. Pipeline is doubling the figure of 100 megawatts. We're almost in 200 megawatts in this B2B area. And these adds up to the development strategy, in which we have around 250 megawatts in farms that are relatively large, from 100 megawatts and above, and which is going to generate an important progress. Stephen. Ricardo, in regards to the Captiva Alta Energy Society, around $17 million of EBITDA that we have for the comparison 2019 and 2018, around $5 million correspond to the effects of the new generations and a better price in the purchase of energy to supply the contracts. And the remaining around $2 million will be the effect of Captiva. Right now, we don't have the precise data, the accurate data, but we're going to upload it to a web page. In terms of pairs of Captiva contracts in 2018 and 2019, so that you can see all the effects in the power revenue of that kind. Captiva has been starting in the spot markets, which represents more revenues in this quarter. Not much. Captiva is pretty close to that marginal cost, but we're waiting for the details, and we're going to upload the details of the difference of the contracts 2018-2019, and we're going to upload them to a web page. Thanks a lot. Ricardo, you missed the visit that we did with Herman there to the farm and to the control center. It was great, yes. Yes, thanks a lot. Next time, I hope I can be there with you. Thanks a lot. We're going to do a meeting with investors there so that you can definitely participate. Thanks a lot. And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the start button, access button, followed by number one in the keyboard of your phone, in the keypad of your phone. And we've got a question of Mr. Mark Sainz from DTC Pactual. Good morning, Ricardo, Stefan. How are you? Thanks a lot for the presentation. I have three sets of questions. If you don't mind, I would like to go one by one until I find them. And my first question is related to a small detail that you mentioned in the report of results related to expectation of new generation of power and energy in Central America during 2019. I'd like to understand a little bit more. What are these new tenders about? And maybe there is a timeline that they have and a timetable. And the fact that the weather conditions in Panama, the Niño phenomenon, and the expectations that the weather conditions do not change so radically in the future, as well as the imbalance that there have been in the system for the Niño phenomenon. represents a benefit, and if the plants are favored by that, or if opposed to that, we should leave that completely isolated. Perfect. Mark, as you said, the power tenders, we're waiting. The government has announced that they're going to release it in the next week. There is a political transition, which is very important. The new president was already elected. So we're in a phase in which the government has to continue managing and as a way of delivering of transition. We're very confident that these new tenders are going to be released next week, and they should be allocated or assigned in less than 2 months. What's interesting for us, and we're very at the expectation of apply with power, because what's most interesting for us is to be hired with the power generation. Cat Energia, we like to see there is a very interesting trend there in the price of coal, which is increasing. That makes the plant that we have in Bariaminas, which is generating some competitive costs, projected. So there we are like trying to calculate and doing all kinds of analysis to see what could be the best possible strategy and showing a lot of resilience in the Panama market. The other thing is, yes, effectively, the Niño phenomenon has generated has affected volatility, and the water resources in Panama have been very affected. There is a deficiency in the transmission system in Panama. We haven't finished a installation which connects the water generation of the north with the southern part, and indeed, that generates some kind of instability. That's why we're betting in Panama for the solar energy generation, which we have never discussed here. But if you see today, we already have, by the end of this year, we're going to have around 30 megawatts in roofs as well as in solar farms in Panama. And that, I believe, generates large benefits for some of the customers there. So we're still going on with that strategy of consolidating and explaining the portfolio, but I believe we still have a lot of work to perform to avoid these variations that we're seeing in this first quarter, and that we expect to have a clear strategy. I don't know, Esteban, if you want to add a little bit more. No, I think you mentioned everything. The way how the market operates, we know that the contraction reports already arrived, the reports of the need of power for short term, and we're expecting the regulator, we're waiting for the regulator to issue the resolution for the contractual part. Okay, perfect. The second question has to do with acquired assets in El Tolima or Tolima. In the last 5 years, Tolima has had some losses of power of around 16% in terms of network operators without meaningful improvements. It's been very stable in those 5 years. Nonetheless, the forecasted decrease, according to you and according to the company itself for the next years, is of around, it will reach around 12% of the decrease. So I'd like to understand why in the past a real decrease of effect, an effective decrease of losses hadn't been done before, and what made you do this methodological review of the CREC, which is unfavorable, and what keeps you so optimistic like to get to that 12% of losses in the next 5 years? Excellent question, Mark. Look, the work that we did in this company was very intensive from a technical point of view, and I could tell you, which is focusing in the work of our colleagues there, I would say that clearly Tolima had problems to be able to have a level of investment which could allow them to decrease that level of loss. So they had certain limitations. We believe, yes, there is also a part, not only in terms of doing installation of transformers, but placing them in the right place to have the signals of the operation, which allow you to optimize that. That means that you quickly can care for incidents or assist incidents, and to have a very sophisticated planning of a network, which is what we really have a very strong team on. So we're going to be able to consolidate that daily basis that the team has at Salima with some planning and network design plan that we have, which is sophisticated. And I believe that's going to be a win-win situation. A win-win situation. Perfect. And maybe the last question, and getting away a little bit of what traditionally we ask, and it is in the electric mobility segments, considering the decrease in cost of batteries in the general installations and the regulatory impositions done in Europe and China in terms of CO2 reduction, that gives me, or that gives power for the implementation of electric cars to be implemented faster. And it gives opportunity for this issue of large-scale batteries. What I wanted to ask you is if you could give us a little bit of a landscape on how we are doing in Colombia in terms of regulatory incentives, and maybe what is your point of view, what is your vision of this segment so that you can have it into account within the strategic plan? Great, Mark. Look, I'm going to talk like about the context that's going on with electric mobility in the planet. It's crazy what's going on. 3 years ago, the expectations of equalization of fuel vehicle prices with electric vehicles was estimated to be for 2025 and 2030. And the last report is showing that by 2022, the equalization of cost is going to be achieved between internal combustion vehicle with an electrical vehicle. That means there isn't going to be a large difference between both, which makes a lot of parties to stop buying fuel vehicles. So the boom is going to be very interesting for the electrical vehicles. And what's going on now? The price of batteries is decreasing in terms of price by kilowatt in a very similar way to what the solar energy drop. So today we're close to $180 or $200 per kilowatt, and we expect that in a couple of years the kilowatt goes down to $100, which will give us the equalization of the price of vehicle fuel vehicle prices. That is being worked a lot on. There are mega factories of batteries that are being built, not only the one of Tesla, Nevada, but there are right now five of those manufacturing plants being built right now, especially in Asia, which will generate a very interesting dynamic. So in that combination, if we take the external factors, all companies in the world are realizing about the effects of a cost in health by additive pollution, different air pollution and pulmonary system or lung problems that this represents. Many companies are forbidden, or many cities are forbidden circulation of fuel vehicles, and the need of many of those enterprises to go to zero emission vehicles for 2025, 2030, and promoting the entry of electric vehicles. So this is a dynamic that goes all levels, is affecting all the industries in the world, and that's how we're doing. What are we doing in Colombia? There's a new bill that's being worked at the Congress of the government. We hope it is approved. It's got the acceptance and the support of all countries, which provides incentives in VAT and tariffs. And we expect the local governments to start to give a sense in terms of different costs that different cities may have and allow to generate at the moment in which they don't have pico y placa as other cities, and that they don't have, that they have differentiated costs in their review of emissions, of tax, and so that generates nationwide as well as locally some incentives. What is it that we're doing at Celsia? We're doing pretty much everything. We're promoting, as what we said, charging stations, and we're starting with the first electric buses. We're partners of those buses, and we're promoting charging infrastructure, helping some municipalities to generate models of charging. And we're launching a couple of very interesting products in a couple of months, which we hope with your visit so that you can help us give feedback, because I think that puts us into another dimension in terms of electric mobility. We see the benefits, and it's good that you also are seeing it. Professor Ricardo, thanks a lot for your answers. A long answer for a short question, but we're very excited about electromobility, actually. Perfect. Thanks a lot. And the next question comes from the line of Alejo Huitrago from Banco Colombia. Good morning, Ricardo, and thank you all and all the team. Thanks for the presentation. In this call, we haven't talked about other projects, other solar projects that Celsius has in Colombia. I'd like to have some kind of update in regards to that. What's going on with Socamocha, Valle do Par, and of the wind generation with Vizcaya? What are the milestones short-term in regards to that, and maybe a little bit about other projects? Thanks a lot. Professor Diego. Kevin, which belongs more to the development team, he's going to give you all the details. And yes, it's good that we can talk about that. How are we doing? Let's say that the solar initiatives and the wind generation initiatives in solar, Valle do Par showed a couple of weeks ago that they have received the environmental license, and they're working a lot on that for having an environmental difference. Right now, in Valle do Par, we're working on connection. It's an area, is a very crowded area in terms of electricity. So we're working at substation level, at the networks operator. So that gives us indications to define the specific date of beginning. That's what we're working on to be able to finish the progress in Valle do Par. The Chicamocha, in a similar word, that means going a little bit back, because we're doing all the environmental paperwork and procedure, because that includes the construction of an important substation. In Chicamocha, obviously, we're working in the environmental part too. There have been new projects coming up which supplement the farms initiative. The farm initiative, we've got two more farms of 10 megawatts each to be built. And farms for customers form. And those large two projects, we expect to have commercial operation by the end of next year, by the end of this year, and by the beginning of next year. And we're working in around additional 200 more megawatts in solar generation in Colombia to have them available pretty soon, or very soon. By the wind generation area, pretty much Colombia is working in two areas. One of them is the prior consultation and the environmental license in regards to the connection. All the part related to the generation parks is ready. So pretty much what we're working on is the connection of the plants at Costecita substation, which is where we'll be implementing the first phase as well as the second phase. There is progress in terms of quotation of equipment, in terms of quotation of facilities, because pretty much our first window is for 2021, so we're expecting to start and checking all the subjects to start with the engineering and to start with the construction in some part of the 2020. The rest of the wind generation initiatives, which now add up around 250 megawatts in non-Guajira areas, continue with development. We expect that the first 10 wind generation megawatts are available during next year. And as our jumbo solar mass, this will guarantee a wind generation development for Colombia. This is a non-Guajira project, which we hope by 2022 starts with operation. All right, thanks a lot. Sorry, Asa. Hopefully, soon enough, we can have wind installations already working in Colombia. Thanks a lot. Okay, I'd like to remind you, if you want to ask a question, please press star and number one, star one in your phone. And right now, we don't have any more questions. We want to give the floor to the panelists for the closing remarks. Thanks a lot, Elsa. And, well, thanks a lot for joining us in this closing of the first quarter. We will see each other soon, and hopefully we have interesting new times for all the crazy things that we've been doing at Celsia, and thanks a lot for joining us today. That's how we conclude today's conference, and thanks a lot for your participation. Now you can disconnect.